Yes, my dear friends, here we are making another tape, and this one is going to be, how do you identify your loved ones when you get to heaven? I would like to read to you from the book of Revelation, very wonderful, wonderful verses. This is coming on the 9th verse. And when he opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy, holy, and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And while and white robes were given unto every one of them, and was said unto them that they should rest yet for a while, for a season, until the following years also their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled. And behold, when he had opened the seal, the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became dark, and as sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. Now, notice here, there's 2 seals here, one opened. First one, the 1st seal was opened, saw all these martyrs and men under the throne of God. And then here come to another era. Later, the tribulation. This was before the tribulation that John saw this. Open the book. Open the seal. Now, friends, this is a very, very important part of eternity. Here these men and these women who have been killed for the word of God. They'd been killed because they believed that God was real, there was a heaven, and the word of God was real, and it was true, that all was true about eternity, the soul would live after death. Therefore, they were so disturbed, so upset because of this that happened. It stirred God's heart. It stirred his heart to the place where they were put in a special place under the altar of God to pray. And so therefore, when I was in, my soul was in heaven. Notice, here was the souls were under there, the souls of men, showing that the souls can be identified, showing that the souls are real, showing that the souls are a person, the person inside the person. This is what John saw on Patmos, saw the souls of them under the altar. That was another time, another seal. Now, that was not the tribulation yet. That was long before the tribulation, long before it. The next seal was opened up, which is the next time, next era, next time, next part, next time, and next age. Here they are under the altar, praying. So when my soul went to heaven, was out of body experience. When I was in France, and then we went over to Monaco, crossed the border into the little country of Monaco, we're sitting in the Hotel Café de Paris, sitting there with a great host of big businessmen. Not only that, but the representative of the Prince Rainier. And also, there was Albert there, the son of, was there in Monaco at that time. There was Bridget there. There was different ones. New York real estate man and his wife Simone. There was this Dutchman with his English wife, and it was quite a group of us. We were sitting there eating that lovely French food, properly cooked. The sauces and the fish cooked so good and so good tasty. And praise God, there this woman woke up. This woman was whispering to her and said, "That's the man across the table that had a wonderful experience." So she came around and asked them if it would mind if she'd come around and sit by me, because it was a wide and big table. So she said, "You had an out-of-body experience." "That I had one too." "Yes, I know what an out-of-body experience is. When I had an out-of-body experience, my soul just went floating away," said, "all the way to the gates of heaven and just a little bit inside." And she said, "My soul left my body." And she said, "What a wonderful experience you must have had." I said, "Certainly I did have a wonderful experience. God breathed into the nostrils of man. Man became a living soul. Now the soul is the inward part of man. That's the man inside. That's the soul inside. That's inside of you. That is what makes you tick, think, subtract, add, is that soul. Without that godly part of you, which God put in, without that part, you couldn't function. You couldn't think. You couldn't do these things. You couldn't coordinate your body. You would be out of tune with everything. Because your soul is the inward part, or the brains, or the part of your body that makes you tick inside. It makes you walk, makes you think, makes you subtract, makes you add, makes you do algebra, geometry, and all the mathematics, and all of the computer business. Without the soul, you would not be able to do it. You'd become a vegetable. You would become a vegetable dead without your soul. So that's what happened to me. My soul left my body, and I became just exactly like a vegetable, unable to think, unable to talk, but yet the blood was running through my veins. So the body was a vegetable, alive, but yet dead. But yet live, but yet dead. And there I was able to move my body a little bit, not much, because my body had become a very much of a vegetable. No coordination, no thought to move my toes, to move any part. It was a type of a complete paralyzed, dead, without any brains, without anything. And that's what happens when your soul leaves. That's why you die. Your soul leaves your body, and you're dead. So then you're either, many people stay in a hospital, and their soul's gone, and they're a vegetable, nothing but a vegetable there, that's all. When they come back to, then their soul goes back in their body. That's exactly right. And you're unconscious. Without your soul, you're completely unconscious, unable to do anything. The minute you die and you expire, your soul is gone. Now that's what I saw in heaven, the souls of men. Now I saw the soul of Smith Wigglesworth, the soul of Smith Wigglesworth, who did a great and mighty work on this earth. Then I saw the soul of Bishop Mason from out of Memphis, Tennessee, who did a great work. Yet it was one of the greatest men to take people off the street. He won thousands of black people to God beside white people. What a great man. Heard him preach a wonderful sermon on the little flower. And it was so soul-searching, as he preached that wonderful message. He was known for that message. And then he preached the one on the little candle. And he could bring out such wonderful thoughts from just a candle. He could bring out wonderful things that would really and truly feed your soul. He could do it, and do it. That's why he won so many thousands of people to God and caused them to be ready to go to heaven. Thousands of them. So in heaven, I saw Bishop Mason. There he was. There he was, a precious man. God had taken him to his reward. But not only that, there was those thousands of people who he'd won to Jesus. There they were in heaven, praising and glorifying God. And some of those that had given their life for gospel, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, were under the altar praying. And there was all nationalities under that altar. All nationalities. All nationalities of the world were suffering the same agony as the others, because there had been martyrs through the ages, the early Christians. There had been martyrs all through the ages. There had been men shot, killed, slain, drowned, and everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There had been some murdered by terrorists and all this. Yet they had gone to their reward in heaven, and there they were. So I could identify, ID them, those there. I was in Fort Pierce, Florida. There was a precious, precious lady there. I'm talking about a big black congregation. Brother LeFleur from New Orleans was the pastor of that church. There was a precious lady there I knew for years and years. And she was very happy, a very happy person. She always carried the joy in that meeting. But she went to be with Jesus. God took her. There she was in the joy of heaven. There she was. Talk with her. And then many hundreds of more. Then there was the three Freds in heaven. The three Freds were in heaven, and these three Freds were martyrs. All their names was Freds. Fred. And they found their boat there, massacred, killed, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, by those that didn't understand, by those that couldn't understand about God. And yet they were killed, because the Bible said they will always have the poor with us, and we'll always have martyrs. So here's those who were martyred, and there they were. So one by one, the martyrs that I knew had been martyrs upon the earth, there they came to welcome me under the throne of God, to welcome me. And I saw also many of the different missionaries that had given their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. One man that I saw under there had been a missionary in Balikpapan, way over there in the Dutch East Indies. There he was. He was right there with the rest of the martyrs under the altar and walking before the throne of God. And I could safely say that I saw several hundred that I knew, like I'd been in many congregations in the United States, of different congregations. I'd been all over the world, everywhere, preaching to all nationalities. So therefore, I made friends all over the world, made friends among the different nationalities. Among the different South American tribes, also in Africa, also in the Orient, where I met these people, thousands coming to God and finding Jesus as their Savior. Yet there they were in heaven. And it was a wonderful time as Jesus was with me between the front of the throne of God where they prayed and under the altar. It was just like a regular homecoming. It was just such a wonderful time to shake my soul's hand, to catch hold of their hand and hug them. Here it was in heaven, these precious, precious ones. I remember there was a lady there that was precious from the Bahamas. In fact, my wife was over there in the Bahamas Island and back there before the days that the segregation thing had broken. Long before then, blazing the trail. And this was this precious lady. Precious lady, used to travel much with my wife. There she was in heaven. And oh, she's come walking on her soul and said to me, Brother, she said, Brother, 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 what are you doing here? I said, my soul is here. I'm here. And she began to so happy and dance. Now, if you don't like to dance down here, you'll be doing some of it in heaven. And here, then, I remember very well, there was a man named Johnny McConnell. Johnny McConnell was a preacher, and a good preacher. And he preached tent meetings all over the country. He was a real estate man in South Texas. But that man made restitution. He stole thousands and thousands of dollars in the real estate business. And he paid every bit of it back. Boy, that man really wanted himself clean before God. But there was Johnny in heaven. There he was, just the same as he was. There was his soul. same action, same time, would be known exactly as we're known. He acted exactly the same as he acted upon this earth. Brisk walking and brisk talker, there was his soul in heaven. And we had some wonderful fellowship, I'm telling you, in heaven with all of these people, with all of your loved ones. There was. And then there was Dr. Price. Now, Dr. Price was a great preacher all through the United States. He won thousands of souls. And he said to me, Percy, I know you're not here to stay. And they all knew that I was not going to stay there. It was just a temporary visit to heaven. But yet I saw all these people. You better get ready. You better get ready, my friends. Give your heart to the Lord and spend time in the glory world in heaven. Then there was another person that I saw, Amy McPherson. Now, Amy McPherson won a lot of souls. There was bad things said about her. What difference? The old devil will say bad things about you. That's right. I heard a brother say, coming out, said he's walking out from his Sunday morning service, and he said that when he come out there to the morning service, some woman there said, I didn't like your message, preacher. Didn't like it. And you know, he said he looked at a place and the devil didn't like it either. He just, of course, she wasn't on the Lord's side. And I remember Johnny McConnell preaching this wonderful message. He said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters abroad. And many of those would ridicule him and say all these things. But Johnny was in there. There he was. He was in there. And he won many, many souls. Many of them. Many souls. And there was his soul. And I knew a lot of his souls. And then there was Orville Benham. He was my first pastor. He was my first pastor over 60 years ago. My first pastor. There he was. That was my pastor there. There he was in that wonderful place walking around with the rest of them. And he walked around and he used to call me and he always had a pretty nice word for me. And he still had the nice word for me, a soul in heaven. And he said, oh, yeah, we're here worshiping God. And the most wonderful part about heaven is not a little congregation over here, little group over there, and little group over there. It's all one great big body in Christ. Now, there's another person that I knew real well on this earth. In fact, he was a great influence over my life, a great influence over my life. And that was a man who was in that early days of teaching me. There he was in heaven, right there, and he said, isn't it wonderful that we're here in heaven together, and here's this great and tremendous place here. And this is what? Now, you must have loved ones in heaven. Of course you do. And I want to tell you, I saw millions who I did not recognize and didn't know them upon this earth, but there they were, just as happy. It could be, one of them could have been your mother, could have been your sister, could have been your friend that's gone on to glory. But there was a tremendous, tremendous crowd of all of these souls. And then there was an Indian woman, among from the Lummi tribe Indians, American, Canadian and American, called the Lummi tribe. The Lummi tribe was quite a tribe up in the Northwest. The fishing rights and all these things and everything. She was a great influence over my life, this Lummi tribe Indian lady. When I received the infilling of the Holy Ghost in 1921, there she was the one that prayed me through what we call praying through, but there she was in heaven. She was right there in heaven, and then there was a brother named Sullivan. He was a missionary to Africa. There he was. There he was in heaven. So here came my pastor. Here came the Lummi tribe Indian. Here came the Irishman named Sullivan. Here they came all around me and began to have fellowship together in heaven. Now this fellowship that we have here upon this earth will last all through the ages of eternity, all through our eternal life. So to know so many, and to so know... Now, there was Dr. Fuller. Dr. Fuller used to preach out of California. Now, a lot of people would have known his private life, but he had to have been filled with the Holy Ghost in order to make it before the throne. But there he was before the throne, because he had to be able to speak God's language. And everybody inside of there was speaking in God's language. Not the language, not English, not English, not French, not German, but God's language. And you can use God's language down here. Now, in South America, there are many different tribes speaking many different languages. In Africa, there's a group in French Guiana and Dutch Guiana there in that area. And quite a crowd of people, quite a lot of them, Christians, I'm talking about Christians, they speak a language called Talkie-Talkie. That's the name of it. It's a mixture of Dutch and different of all of this Indian tribe together. But they speak Talkie-Talkie. That's right. And here was this brother there that was a man who spoke Talkie-Talkie. In heaven, he was not speaking Talkie-Talkie. He was speaking God's language. So Talkie-Talkie was kind of a language hard to learn. Very hard to communicate with it unless you knew the language Talkie-Talkie. So then they would use a sign language. A sign language, a lot to understand one another. Finally, after, several years, you begin to understand and talk their language. But he was not speaking that in heaven. He was speaking God's language, speaking the language of heaven, speaking the language of the Lord. Speaking like, when I saw some characters up there, some men, of men of God, who had gone on to the glory world, men who was ministers and preachers and missionaries upon this earth that carried the great message of God to this world. But not one of them spoke the language they preached in down here. It wouldn't be fair for just let English be the spoken language in heaven. That would be foolish. That might make God partial to certain languages. And even Hebrew is not spoken in heaven. Jesus can speak it, and he spoke in the Hebrew language out of heaven to Paul on the way to Damascus. But the true language of heaven is not Hebrew. It's not French. It's not Talkie-Talkie. It's not German. Not English. It's God's own language. That's why. And so you don't have to learn. That's why a lot of people come over here. We're starting a Bible school. We expect to have it open here. That is a Bible training center to train them to go to different parts of the world. They come in from the different parts of the world in their own language. They will not have to come here to learn to speak English, because we've got a system where we're going to teach them in their own language. Now, for a man to leave the United States, that's right, and go over and learn their language, to learn to speak, let's say, learn to speak Arabic, use the word the Arabic language. Very hard language to learn. And an Oriental language, very hard language to learn. I'm learning it. But here's what happens. They all speak the language of God. So these students that are coming here from different countries, they will not have to learn to speak English. Most of the universities here, most of the colleges here, most of them here, when they come here, they have to learn to speak English to be able to learn in America. And then they think that's something, to learn English. But it won't be necessary in this group of ours, with the college. It won't be necessary at all. Because they'll come here and they will be taught in their own language. They'll be taught. So they'll come here, so they go back to their country speaking fluently, taught in their own language. Now, what happened at Pentecost? At Pentecost, there, when the power came, they heard them speak, everyone, in their own language. In their own language. That's what's going to happen to this Bible school. It's going to be to all languages. That's why we're doing the translation work. Back in heaven, with God's language, all God's language, and the songs are sung in God's language. So you learn that language. If you want to go to heaven, you better learn to speak that language down. How do you learn to speak that language down? Very simple. Very simple and very plain. All you do is get on your knees and pray and ask God to give you God's heavenly language. That's right. You can do it, because out of your belly will flow that language. You will learn it by prayer. When you get down and go into your private closet and pray and seek God, now don't give up. Just go there, get in communication with God, and then you'll learn that God's language. So then, back in heaven again, Here was a Welshman. Now, the Welsh people are great singers, and they can sing beautiful in that Welsh language. They sing specially in Welsh language. But they weren't singing in Welsh in heaven. They were singing in God's language. So God changes every earthly made language in heaven and changes it to his heavenly language. What happened at Babel? They heard them speak. What happened? They were confused at the Tower of Babel, and this was the origination of all the different dialects of the world. And back at Pentecost is where they learn again to speak the language of God, and the language of God in heaven, so precious and so wonderful. Then another person I saw, he was a man that was a great preacher, Gypsy Smith. Now, Gypsy Smith preached all over England. He was quite a preacher. He was a gypsy. You know, England has a lot of gypsies. Goes all over the country, and they're a special breed of people. They come up the east, and the gypsy. Gypsy Smith became a great preacher for God, won lots of souls. He won thousands of souls and thousands of gypsies to God. There he was in heaven. There, and Gypsy Smith says, "Hello, Percy." I said, "How are you?" "Hello. How are you?" "Fine." He said, and he spoke to me not in the gypsy language, but in God's language. They used to go around in caravans and pull them horses. And when I was a little boy, they wanted me to go with them. That's right. Wanted me to travel and become a gypsy and go there with them and be a gypsy because I had seen an angel. And they used to say, "Did you see an angel?" To sit around all among their caravans. And they had those little tiny stoves in their caravans, and I'd sit and eat with those gypsies. That's right. And beautiful gypsy girls. That's right. And these gypsy girls, one gypsy girl there that kind of liked me. That's right. She said, "Oh, you come with us and we'll make a gypsy out of you." But I didn't go. My father wouldn't let me go. But she was a Christian. That girl was a Christian. But yet something happened to her that she passed away from this world, and there she was in heaven. So, perfect unity. She said, "Hello, Percy." I said, "Hello. Hello there. How are you?" "That's right. How are you?" She said, "I'm fine." And we began to have fellowship in heaven in the Holy Ghost of the Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful time. And there's those gypsies in heaven. Look, Gypsy Smith won thousands of souls to God. Thousands of souls. What a great preacher he was. Called him Gypsy Smith. And there he was in heaven, there enjoying himself, when all of his Holy Ghost gypsy followers was there with him, the one that had gone on to be with Jesus. That's why it pays to preach the gospel. It pays to preach the Word of God. It pays to preach the Word of God and bring forth the power of the Holy Ghost. I think we're getting pretty well closing to the end now of this message. May God bless you and be with you is my prayer. See you next tape. May God bless you. Friends, now I want to talk about the family in heaven. That the family is together in heaven. We have a saying, many do, the family that prays together stays together. It's nice for a mother to take her little brood around and pray with them, and the father and the mother on their knees in the home and come to a time of prayer. I remember Pastor Nichols, pastor of Grace Temple in Fort Worth, Texas, taking his two little twins every day before they went to bed, talked to them about Jesus, and talked to them about the Lord, lead them. That's what you call a family life. They used to have a family life together in Fort Worth, and I sat with them in their family life. As many people have family lives. Many of their family lives are separated, really separated. But I'm going to talk about the family that prays together, stays together. I'm going to talk about the family that loves Jesus, father, mother, sister, brother, and the grandchildren, and whatever. They're together having fellowship. We call family reunions. But one of the most wonderful family reunions is when Christian families get together and come not for the purpose to drink or crowds around or tell wild stories, but to come and serve the Lord. That's what you call a family. Now, the Mormons believe that the family will be together in heaven. I got no quarrel with that because I was in heaven, and I know. Now, it's not the matter of baptizing them together. It's a matter of the real move of the Spirit of God in the family life and serving God, having their morning devotion, their morning prayer, and praying together, the family, father, mother, sister, brother. Now then, of course, then it'll go on through the second, third generation. The mother maybe die, and the father get married again. Maybe the father die and the mother get married again. That's right. But it's different with the united family. The united family. My mother died when I was only not quite 5 years old. That's right. When a death comes in, sometimes it upsets a family and makes things different. And sometimes the families, especially of this day, are scattered. Very much scattered. World War I began to scatter the families, and then worse in World War II. And there people are scattered all over to the four corners of the earth. There absolutely is very little more real, true, and close family life. But I saw in heaven families together. Families, fathers, mothers, and those, although they'd separated this earth, but they'd come back together in heaven, and there they were worshiping God together in heaven. There they were, all around together and worshiping God. It was a wonderful sight. And there they were all not speaking their native tongue, but there they were speaking together in God's language and praising and glorifying God. Now, here was the difference now. Now, you think of a family as a family with a father, mother, and little children. It wasn't always that way. Some of them were, but in heaven, especially those that had been wiped out and killed by some accident upon this earth, and they were really Christian. But in heaven, you must remember that the sons and the daughters had grown up. And some of the daughters and the sons had got older on this earth than their fathers and mothers was. You see, there's no difference in age in heaven. There they were all together, all of these different ones, all of these different ones of the same family. And some of those families run into several hundred. Now, you think of a family, you're just thinking of just a little bit of six or seven people. But here in heaven, one special family, there they were, over 1,000 of the descendants, and they were all Christians. Now, that was a most miraculous sight to think so many had given their heart to the Lord and so many had come together. I didn't see any other kind of family like that in heaven, not one, only that one. There they were together, the great-great-great-great-grandfather even, and the great-great-great-great-grandson. They were all together. And they carried the same name upon this earth, but in heaven they carried a new name. But yet they were together, the family. And then there was those that had fellowship together in that family upon this earth. Now, they didn't get there by tradition. They didn't get there just because they belonged to that family or whether had the same name. They got there because they were born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and knew Jesus. That's how they got there together. They didn't, and there they were. There were so many of that family that really got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and filled and stayed true to the end. Here was this family together. It was wonderful to see them. Now, let's go back to just a man and woman. Just a man and woman only. Now, the man dies, and he leaves the woman a widow. And she pines and says, wonder about her husband, where he is in heaven. She can't communicate with him because God doesn't let that happen. He does sometime. But in heaven, there, when the woman comes in, I saw a miraculous sight. Not one, but several. When the souls come into heaven, the bells ring over the throne of God because the devil's lost a soul. Now, my mother went to heaven when I was almost 5 years old. And that was just a little boy I was. But I just barely remembered her. But I did remember some of the beautiful things she did. So then, praise God in heaven, she recognized me right away, and I recognized her soul right away, and she recognized my soul. Now, that was a miraculous. Now, I saw men coming into heaven and women coming to heaven, and there was the husband waiting for the wife, and there was the wife waiting for the husband. And there they went together, put their arms around one another, and there was going to be a death separation no more. They were going to live there in eternity together forever and ever and ever because they had went to heaven saved. There was the mother, and then here cometh the mother of the two. The mother of the father and the mother of the mother. There they come, and then here they would come and come and begin to gather until there'd be 300 or 400 in the same group of a homecoming in heaven, of a homecoming. What a wonderful, wonderful reality. That's right. Now, I saw my grandmother in heaven. I saw my grandfather in heaven. I saw my father in heaven. I saw them in heaven in the temple. Of course, we had a great time together. That's what you call the family, heavenly family reunion. The family reunion. Very wonderful reality of the family reunion. And this can go on and on and on until you can see the wonderful coming home. Here is the widow woman upon this earth waiting and looking for the day that she'd meet her husband who was so nice to her upon this earth and was a Christian. That's a woman's love for the man. A woman's love for the man on this earth. But that true godly love lasts through all the ages of eternity. And I could watch them coming in. Heaven's gates open up, and the bells ring over God's throne, and in comes all of these different ones that are saved. Saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Coming into heaven. All coming into heaven. So heaven is a place, one of the greatest family reunions that you could imagine in any of God's language, of any of language. But it happened in every cut of the skin and in every nationality. Here you could see those coming in from Africa. Just that love of that wife for that man, or the man for the wife. I'm talking about those that know God and worship God, not the ones that just go carousing around drinking. I'm causing about the one that really set their lives aside for God. Now, it is exactly as it is the soul. I'm talking about the soul going to heaven. I'm not talking about the body going to heaven. I'm talking about the soul going to heaven. That's right. If my body had ever gone up there, I certainly wouldn't want to come back to this world again. Once I made it in with a body, but I'm talking about an out-of-body of experience of the souls of man going to heaven, going there to spend eternity with God. Now, inside of heaven, you could see this all happening. And what do they do when this happens? What would a person do? Like a wife come up to, and her husband's there, and they get her. They can go on tours. They can go right on and get them a chariot. After they've been recognized and after they've been sealed, the soul been sealed by God for eternity, they can get in a chariot and go together and be back together the same as they drove in that automobile down there, driving around. But the chariot they ride in doesn't have gasoline. It doesn't have any gears to it. Doesn't have any old dirty oil to make the gears work. It's operated by the power of the living God. So then there's chariots for two. Chariots for one and chariots for two, up to 100. And big ones. And here, so the man can get him a chariot and take his wife on a flight. And he does no accidents, none whatsoever. And he could get and take her and go on one of the rides, but the most beautiful, beautiful flight that they'll ever take, ever, ever, ever. They've gone around to discover God's mountains. What fellowship divine, what love, what joy, what real, what more could a person want than the soul saved and spending eternity in heaven? I'm not talking about a body, as I say it many times. I'm talking about a soul in heaven. The soul. Now, the Bible speaks many times of the soul, the living soul. Many times. Not just once, but many times. Many times about the soul. So then, man is a living soul. He's a living soul, not a fleshly body. He is a fleshly body, but that fleshly body cannot go to heaven because the Bible clearly teaches that flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. So then, spirit. So then, what's going to happen to your body? Your body down here. You look on your hands, and like a little Korean boy that just visited, he says, do you mean to say these hands are going to come alive again? So you look at those hands, and they rot, all that. But out of that grave is going to come a transformed body, a spiritual body, a transformed body, not a fleshly body, a transformed spiritual body. And then when that body goes to heaven in the resurrection, it'll go back together to the soul, and the soul and the body, and the spiritual body will become one. There you'll go back together and be one unit, one body. You won't be walking around heaven with a soul in this part and a body and a spiritual body in the other. It'll be one. So then, actually, you never die. I heard a preacher once preach, you never die. Of course, the flesh will die. Absolutely. That's right. Your flesh. Flesh is flesh. Flesh is flesh. That's right. And God heals many people. Doesn't heal everybody. No, sir, but he's a healer. He's a healer. I mean, God's a tremendous healer. That's right. And he'll do it for the poorest of the poor. He'll do it for the one with no influence. How do you know? I know. In the mission field, I've seen those very, very poor people. No money. But yet God has healed them. Healed them because he wants them around here a while. The only reason God heals a person and makes them well is to work for him. He doesn't heal a person on this earth. And I know from where I speak, just to go back into sin and just to go back and get drunk. No, he doesn't. He heals you to work for him. He heals you to use you on this earth as long as you want to work for him. That's right. That's the condition. That is the condition. When God heals you for a purpose, he heals you to work for him. That's right. And when you work for him, you follow him. You follow him. One of the most. So this is what I saw in heaven. Many of those that got healed upon this earth. Now, if healing was forever, then you'd live as old as Methuselah. But that's not the picture. I've seen so many healed, so many healed, but they healed for a purpose, to serve God and to work for God. In heaven, I saw many thousands that have been healed upon this earth. And that lived on in heaven forever. No more divine healing in heaven. No more praying for the sick in heaven because there's no sick. There's no more doctors in heaven because nobody gets sick. So what do you need doctors in heaven for? Don't need them. There's a man lives in Connersville, Oklahoma. He's a great doctor, Dr. Honeyacre. He's a wonderful doctor. That's right. And he's helped me many times when I've been in a tight. That, and I don't mean financially. I mean with knowing how to prescribe to relieve me sometimes from a pain. I'm not against medicine. No way. Why a lot of people say, well, I wouldn't take a drop of medicine if you tried. But I don't say that. I say God has put that physician there. God, like godly physicians, purpose to relieve suffering. That's what that's for. That's exactly. Now, Dr. Honeyacre is a Christian, a wonderful Christian. He loves God in every way. He lives a Christian, walks a Christian, and is a Christian. But God took his wife. God took home his wife. Now, if anybody could ever have prescribed anything to have saved that precious wife's life, Dr. Honeyacre could have done it. Every medical, that's right, know-how was tried on his wife. But yet God took her. God took his wife. And there he is. Now, he didn't get mad at God or say anything. Now, he didn't say, oh, there's nothing to it, but he kept himself a Christian. Faith. So, therefore, I talked with Dr. Honeyacre. Talk with him. What fine man. And he's looking forward for the day when he's through with his practice. Now, there's a man who knows all about the human body. Of course he does. All about the woman, all about that. He called him up. He lives in Connersville, Oklahoma. But he's waiting for the day when God will take him to be with his wife in heaven. That's right. Now, that's a man that knows about death, knows all about it. But yet, he has that wonderful faith. And I discussed heaven with Dr. Honeyacre, told him. And what he'll do when his soul leaves his body, there where you will see his precious wife and have fellowship with them, and I guess they'll have a lot to talk over. Being the doctor, a lot to talk over. Now then, we've gone further. In New York, I met several doctors there who are they're positively 100% believers in the life of the soul. The life of the soul. And I saw many, many doctors in heaven. I didn't see the ones that commit abortions. Didn't see them. No place for them in heaven. That's right. Unless they get converted and get saved and get born again, then God will fix a place and forgive them. But I didn't see one doctor in heaven committed abortion. You fellows, gentlemen, you better stop doing it. I'm telling you, better stop doing it. And give your heart to God and get right with God so you go to heaven or you'll spend eternity in the burning hell. That's right. And you sure don't want that, do you? No, that's right. Now, I do not believe in abortion on a mass way, cutting babies' heads off and slaughtering them and throwing a truck and taking them to the incinerator. How horrible can a person get? How horrible can a person get? That's right. Didn't see one of them in heaven. I saw several of them that were converted. I saw several of those abortion doctors that had given up, and they asked God forgiveness and cried before God, and then God forgave them and take them to heaven. That's right. It's not an unpardonable sin. It's a terrible, horrible sin. It's not an unpardonable sin. And you men that cut these babies out of women and cut their heads off and all that's murder, friends. I'm not quarreling with you. I'm just saying, friends, you better stop it and give your heart to the Lord and get saved. You'll spend eternity in hell. That's where you'll do it, and you sure don't want that. Please listen to me. But I saw some of the converted, and then I saw a lot of nurses in heaven. Anybody that must have a real love and a real heart is when they go and take care and pray for the sick and live for the sick and live among the sick, among the sick. That's right, and help them and tuck their beds and make their beds. That's right. I go and visit hospital, I know, and there's many of those nurses pray. And I saw a host of them in heaven, a host. Now let's go to the leprosy colonies a minute in South America. What a horrible disease that is. I've heard them cry in the night. Lay there and hear them cry with a terrible, terrible, terrible suffering. Suffering. Leprosy. And there, the leprosy colonies up the Amazon River. That's right. We took a little girl one time with leprosy and brought her from there and took her there. And God did a wonderful healing in the leprosy colony. But I saw those doctors that work in the leprosy colony in heaven. What a difference between killing and healing. Killing and healing. Here is these abortion doctors come and kill. And there's others that save lives and try to make them live. What a difference. And I saw there, and then I saw a place of heaven where there was hundreds and hundreds of converted lepers with the leprosy converted and in heaven. Saw them, and they had perfect bodies. Their bodies was not covered with leprosy anymore. They were perfect bodies, perfect. There they were in heaven, enjoying the health of eternity, enjoying the health. And then now let's turn to a horrible disease today that's on this earth, the horrible disease, AIDS. Comes from homosexuality. Comes from man with man. If you want to find out, you'll find out if you disease control Atlanta, Georgia, they'll send you all about it. It's a sin of the devil of the last days. He'll try to hook the human race one way, and if you don't, he'll get them another. We're living in one of the most sexual, satanic action, just like Rome was in America. You look, turn on your television. What do you see? Dirty movies, if you want to turn to them. I don't. You turn all that filth on that, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah in its debauchery and sin. That's right. They try to get the two last ones out of that, two last ones to bring them out in the streets to have sex with them. It was awful. The Sodom and Gomorrah was one of the worst places that's ever been known to man. But what's happening in America today? America, free sex, free women, free sex. But that's right, and that went on for about 22 years when it started, 22 years ago, and got worse and worse and worse. The women become taking these birth control pills and begin to have sex with one another, another man's wife, another man's woman. But now, here is the payoff. Now God has come on the scene and let the devil get a hold. The devil's a bad paymaster. He sure is. So now here comes this horrible disease of the AIDS. It is said that by the year 2000, that millions in this whole earth will have the AIDS, and millions will be dying unless the medical world comes up with something, some kind of a cure. But in heaven, there was not one sickness, all pure and holy. And God can forgive a man with the AIDS. He's no respecter person. You people that are going to die that have the AIDS, that have it, and you know you have it, you give your heart to Jesus. It's the only answer. You give your heart to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you for your wicked homosexual sins. Say, Lord, forgive me. Get on your knees before God and get saved. You will have no AIDS in heaven. It will be completely gone. And you know there's hundreds and hundreds laying there now waiting for the day of death in their life, to the day of death. They know there's no hope, nothing they can do. It all started in the homosexual world. All started in the homosexual world. Men with men. That's how it started. And God says, okay, you do that filthy stuff, I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. And they turned over to a reprobate mind, and by turning over to a reprobate mind, they have really blew it. But in heaven, there was many of those converted AIDS patients and converted homosexuals. Converted homosexuals. Converted. Converted by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Heaven full of born-again sinners. Full of born-again sinners. Thousands. Having a glorious time with the Lord. There's no sin too horrible and too dark. No sin too bad. But what you can get right and go and spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, with Jesus. Eternity in the spirit world with God. With God. You got a soul. Every one of you got a soul. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Friends, in that homosexual world, the soul, the sinning soul, dying. They're dying, dying. You're dying, aren't you? You're dying. You're dying. You can't help it. That disease got you. It's got you, but there's deliverance. Father, we pray for those with the AIDS, this special service. Oh, God, touch them. Let your healing virtue give them the heart to the Lord. Don't heal them unless they give their heart to you, Lord. Let the healing virtue and the healing power come on their lives and give them eternal lives. Give them the joy of eternal lives. Let the blessing of God come upon them. Father, we love them because you love them. You died on the cross for them. And, oh, Father, save those ones with the AIDS. Father God, be with them. Oh, blessed God, let the blessing of the power and the glory of God go upon their lives and save them. Give them the joy of heaven. Forgive them of their sins, Father, and let them come to you. Now remember, you must have a lot of friends when you hear this tape, and tell some of these tapes to others, because we want these tapes to be translated in every language on earth. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Praise God.